Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, it is the start of the Steelers OTA practices. They will begin today, as we said yesterday. This is really just practice in shorts, but because we're going to start to see some real Steeler practices, I think we're going to get some answers to some of the questions we've been asking all offseason. And so today I want to go over the five biggest questions that I have about this football team going into OTAs and some of the answers I think we can get from this team once OTAs finish up. Before we do that, let's start today, as we do every day, with some Steelers news and notes. And really the only thing that's newsworthy for the Pittsburgh Steelers today is that Jeremy Fowler's report yesterday that Le'Veon Bell will not be at these OTAs. Again, these OTAs are voluntary. They are not mandatory. Although, you know, look, Le'Veon Bell hasn't even signed his franchise tag yet. So, you know, Le'Veon Bell does not only does he not have to be there because these are voluntary, he doesn't have to be there because he's not technically a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers roster yet. So until he signs that franchise tag, you know, we talk about minicamp, which is mandatory coming up at the start of June. Again, he doesn't have to be there either, and he probably won't be at training camp if he doesn't sign a long-term deal. So, you know, again, you know, this report that Le'Veon Bell's not going to be there, that is not shocking to anyone. In New England, there is a little bit of discord going on up there as well between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft. Of course, ESPN writing that article about 6 months ago now about the discontent that is going on between Tom Brady, his trainer, and Bill Belichick, Bill Belichick doesn't really like this trainer that Tom Brady has. Tom Brady will not be at OTAs for the New England Patriots. So that is going to be interesting to watch Tom Brady skipping. Again, they're voluntary OTAs, but Tom Brady has generally speaking been there. And when your quarterback doesn't show up for OTAs, it's very difficult to get a lot out of these practices, especially offensively, when your leader, your quarterback, isn't there. Rob Gronkowski will also not be there. This is probably also due a little bit to that athletic trainer situation. You know, he is part of the TB12 or whatever it's called thing. And he's also looking for a new contract, so that could be part of the situation as well. Again, New England going through a similar situation to the Steelers in that, look, they're going to be going through some of their offseason activities without some of their biggest guys, and the Steelers are dealing with not having Le'Veon Bell there for a second season, this one being a little bigger for them, right? This OTA practice is going to be the first time Randy Feuchner is going to be able to introduce the new wrinkles he'll be adding offensively, and Le'Veon Bell just won't be there. Now, for Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, you know, they've kept the majority of that offensive training staff, so, you know, not going to be a lot going on there. But again, anytime you have your quarterback not happy with the organization, and he told Tom Brady telling Jim Gray that, you know, well, Jim Gray asked him, do you feel appreciated by this organization? And he pled the fifth. That's not a great situation for you to be in, right? So we'll see what happens in New England this year. But as always, expect them to be on top of or near the top of the AFC. Former Cleveland Browns quarterback Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, trying to make a comeback now. He is going to be playing in the Canadian Football League for the Hamilton Tiger Cats. This had been a long negotiation process, and he's going to try and, you know, restart his football career in the Canadian Football League. Now, not to say that the Canadian Football League is the best place to go if you want to resurrect your career, but it has been done in the past. Warren Moon famously started his career in the Canadian Football League and then came over and was a great quarterback for the Houston Oilers. Not to say Johnny Manziel is the next Warren Moon, but just say it is possible, right? My expectation here is that, look, Johnny Football will probably do well in the Canadian Football League or as well as, you know, you can expect. And realistically, I think this is really just a springboard for him to become the likely face of the XFL, right? You know, the XFL, Vince McMahon's new league coming up in the spring, 2 years from now. We'll see what that league is going to be, but they need stars. They need big players, and Johnny Manziel certainly fits that mold. This comeback can kind of put him back on the trail of getting to remember Johnny Manziel, the football player, and less about Johnny Manziel, the off-the-field troubles that he's had. And that could, you know, again, springboard that into an XFL run and you know, making waves here again in the United States. And, of course, maybe he does propel that into a National Football League career. Who knows? Who knows? All right, let's talk about the five questions I have about this football team going into OTAs. And again, this OTAs, normally OTAs are pretty boring, right? I mean, again, it's just practice in shorts. This is not the most exciting stuff going on. But for this football team, going through a totally new offensive coordinator who is going to add his own wrinkles to Todd Haley's offense, there are certainly going to be questions about offensively, what is it going to look like in 2018? And then defensively, while we didn't change a lot of personnel there, right? Keith Butler stays as defensive coordinator. There are still just as many questions defensively, if not more questions defensively, than we have on the offensive side of the football. Who's going to replace Ryan Shazier, right? And of course, you know, John Bostic figures to be the guy on the depth chart that replaces him. But, you know, again, there's a lot of things this Steeler defense could do, including playing the dime and that kind of thing, that are very interesting going into this offseason and into these OTA practices. So question one for me, and really, you know, the question we've asked the most on this podcast is, who is going to play free safety for this football team? Now, Mike Tomlin had previously said that it was going to be Morgan Burnett to start, and that was just his off-the-cuff response was, I would probably say Morgan Burnett starts the OTA practices at free safety, and that figures to be the right thing to do. Sean Davis was the strong safety last year, so not moving him right away probably makes sense, right? See what Morgan Burnett can do as a free safety. But my expectation is going to be that throughout these OTA practices and then into training camp, we'll likely see Sean Davis and Morgan Burnett flip. My expectation is that Sean Davis will become, because he is the better athlete of the two, and really what the Steelers have lacked at free safety for so long is a premier athlete who can be sideline to sideline. You know, Sean Davis could be that guy, right? He hasn't shown great ball hawking skills over the years, although he has had some pretty clutch interceptions from time to time. They've mostly come on overthrows where, you know, guys are throwing over the middle and Sean Davis is behind the play. Look, not to say those are bad interceptions either, but we haven't seen him be a real ball hawking safety. So, you know, maybe he comes out of his shell and again, with new secondary coach Tom Bradley, we may see a different side of Sean Davis. The worry there is that, you know, you're switching Sean Davis's position again. He started as the nickel corner in his rookie year, moved over to strong safety, and now he'll be moving to free safety. So we'll see how that plays itself out. It does seem to me at this point to be the smartest move the Steelers can make would be to play Sean Davis at that role and then, of course, move Morgan Burnett over to the starting strong safety spot. The next question for me is, how is James Conner's knee going to be going into this OTA practice and really into the regular season? You know, backup running back is a position that, you know, hasn't really been talked a lot about in Pittsburgh. But, you know, you go back to the days of D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams was a key member of this team for a two-year run there, right, where he was a major part of this offense. And James Conner, I think, could figure to be just as big a part. Part of the problem with this team early on in last season, in my opinion, is that they weren't willing to go to James Conner enough. You know, they kind of stuck with Le'Veon Bell, even though he was going through those early season troubles that we saw him have, and they didn't have the confidence in James Conner to take a more heavy load early in the season. Now, look, he was a rookie. He was probably still learning the offense, and you have to say, if you go back and look at James Conner's rookie year before the knee problems, he just wasn't great from a block, you know, from the intangibles, right? From a pass blocking, understanding his assignments, catching the ball out of the backfield. These were not, you know, the strongest parts of his game, and they're really the parts of his game that he's going to have to improve on in year two. But again, we're going to have Le'Veon Bell holding out again. You're going to need to be able to bring on a second running back in certain situations, and the Steelers can't be as afraid to take Le'Veon Bell off the field in 2018 as they've been in years past. And so I do think James Conner is going to be an important part of that offense. So my question is going to be, how is the knee doing? How does he look? Does he look right? Because again, any kind of MCL knee injury has to scare you for a running back, especially early in his career. And there are plenty other injury situations that I want to monitor over the next week or two. You know, Keon Adams, the edge rusher who sat out all of last season with an injury, you know, he figures right now to not just see minutes in during these OTA practices or during minicamp or training camp. I mean, this guy is the fourth edge rusher on the depth chart right now. He figures to see real regular season minutes the way the roster is constructed today. So we'll see how he looks, you know, just first of all, just from an injuries perspective. He sat out all of last season with injury. We'll see how he looks there. And then, you know, again, he's going to get some quality time. So, you know, can he be a quality depth player at edge rusher? Something this team, I think, really needs. Bud Dupree, Joe Haden, Sean Davis. These are three guys who Bud Dupree had injury problems last year, and I do wonder how his shoulder has been. But Joe Haden and Sean Davis have had so many injury problems throughout the offseason the last couple years that it is going to be nice to see these guys healthy for an offseason and how much training they're able to do and how much improvement, especially for me, between Bud Dupree and Sean Davis, right? These are two guys who it seems like every offseason they're going through some kind of surgery or some kind of injury concern that keeps them out throughout this part of the offseason. And so with Bud Dupree and Sean Davis, these are two guys we need to step up in 2018. It'll be good to see them healthy during this process because that is, you know, for them, that has been just as big a concern as their play on the field. For Joe Haden, right, he has just had so many injury concerns over the later part of his career that it's good to see he's going into an offseason completely healthy and he can train again. And again, going into this OTA practices, not that he's going to have any kind of leap to make, right? He is very much, you know, in the twilight of his career, in the twilight of his prime, I should say. But good to see Joe Haden going into this process relatively injury-free. The next question I have is about backup quarterback. And this really wasn't a question until the Steelers drafted Mason Rudolph. And so much has been made about Mason Rudolph and whether or not he's going to be the heir apparent, the successor to Ben Roethlisberger. And those are questions that are going to be answered years down the line, right? For today, the question for Mason Rudolph is going to be, can he compete with Landry Jones for the backup quarterback spot? And if he does, what does that do to the roster, right? If Mason Rudolph is your backup quarterback, it seems very likely to me then that Josh Dobbs is still your third quarterback, right? And Landry Jones just becomes a salary cap casualty at that point. Or potentially they keep Landry Jones as the third quarterback. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. You know, with so much talk about the Steelers having such a high grade on Mason Rudolph, it'll be interesting to see what their expectations are going to be for Mason and where they slot him as far as the number of reps they're giving him in relation to Landry Jones. Do they see him as being a more, you know, third string developmental quarterback? Do they see him as being a backup type quarterback competing with Landry Jones for that spot? You know, where do they see him? To me, if you have a guy who has a first round grade on him coming out of college, I don't care what round you took him in, he should be able to compete with Landry Jones early on in his career for the backup spot. And so that's one thing that I want to monitor as we go through OTAs and minicamp to see where Mason Rudolph is fitting just in the number of reps. Next for me is about all about Terrell Edmunds and where Terrell Edmunds is going to play. You know, and this kind of dovetails into how much dime are we going to see from this team, right? Because, you know, you look back at Steeler rookies over the years, and Bud Dupree didn't start his rookie year, but he saw some playing time, some significant playing time as the season went on. Artie Burns, you know, pretty much the same thing, right? He didn't start that year, although he played a little bit in the dime early on that season. And then he eventually became the starting outside corner about halfway through that season. And with Sean Davis, it was very much the same story, right? He came in, started as the nickel corner, then moved to becoming the starting strong safety about halfway through that season. It'll be interesting. And then TJ Watt last year came in and was the presumptive starter right away and kind of took over at his outside linebacker spot. Be interesting to see where they fit Edmunds in on this defense, right? Early on, I think we're all expecting him to play in the dime, right? But does he push Morgan Burnett or Sean Davis for one of the starting safety spots throughout the year, like we've seen some of the other Steeler rookies do? Or is it going to be a situation where he is going to be limited throughout his rookie year? You know, and then the other question for me is going to be about, you know, him and Marcus Allen and how much traditional linebacker do we really see them play? Again, Edmunds talking about a rookie minicamp that he played both safety spots, but he also played a little bit of linebacker and wouldn't say what kind of linebacker he was. Look, the expectation is, of course, that was dime linebacker, right? That was a sixth defensive back set. But I suppose it's possible, right, that he was playing some sort of weird hybrid 3-4 inside linebacker and potentially Marcus Allen doing the same thing. And so, look, if that's going to be the case, right, we're going to find out very, very shortly that that's the case, and we'll see. But the question for me is going to be about how much does Terrell Edmunds play and where does he play? I guess it could be inside linebacker at some point. The final question I have going into OTAs, and this one to me is the big one. This is the one that I think is going to, this is going to separate this football team from being the kind of football team it was last year, which was a very competitive football team, but still a ton of question marks when it came to playoff time and its ability to beat the other elite teams in the National Football League. And really this team becoming the championship, the champion, not just the championship contender, but the presumptive champion in 2018 that I think a lot of us expect. And that question is, who makes the leap? Who is going to be the player, especially on defense, who makes the leap from being the solid to good player we've seen them be today to becoming the elite playmaker on this defense? It's something I talked about before the draft. And I know, you know, the Steelers draft was somewhat of a disappointing draft in that we didn't get the players that we thought we were going to get. But again, as I said before the draft, this team and this defense was never going to be defined by who they took in the draft. It was going to be defined by players on this team making a leap from last year to this year. And we have so many of those guys on this roster. The big guy that stands out to me is TJ Watt, because he had such a good rookie year. He has such a good pedigree. He was in a lot of ways a sound fundamental football player. And if he can get better year one to year two and become a more consistent pass rusher and continue to be good in coverage, become better against the run, become a real playmaker on this defense, that can help this team become a Super Bowl champion. You talk about Bud Dupree, who is a player we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting for him to become the dominant pass rusher that he was drafted to become. Kevin Colbert, Mike Tomlin sound very, very sure that he is going to, when teamed up with TJ Watt, he is going to be that guy. This is a year where he should be coming into the year healthy, let's hope. And if that is the case, then he should be coming into the year ready to make his stamp, ready to make his mark on this defense as the elite pass rusher at the edge rush position that we have not had since Lamar Woodley in 2012. Artie Burns at the cornerback position. You know, here's a guy who his rookie year, he played decently well, some dumb mistakes, and you felt like, boy, if he can cut out the dumb mistakes and make some of those good plays he was making, if he can make more of those going into 2017, you know, he could be a pretty good cornerback for this team. And in a lot of ways in 2017, he regressed. Same can be said for Sean Davis, who again was a guy you felt like, boy, this guy was all the way, he's always around the ball. He had some big interceptions that year. 2017 for him was largely a regression year. He had some decent games. For me, Sean Davis, you know, the Kansas City game stands out for him as being his best game all season, and that was a huge win for this team, but he's got to be more consistent. And then Stephon Tuitt, it's another guy who I think has shown flashes of greatness on this team, but, you know, he has always played second fiddle to Cam Hayward on this team. He did again last year, and if he makes a leap, right, we already have a great interior lineman in Cam Hayward. If Stephon Tuitt makes that leap again, we have two great interior defensive linemen. That makes the job of TJ Watt, of Bud Dupree, that much easier, right? And this team is chock full of young talent. And so the biggest question for me going into OTAs is, which one of you guys is going to make the leap? I've gone over five or six of them today. This team is not hurting for young players. They are hurting for young players to step up and become the man. And so the thing that is most exciting to me about this OTA process, about minicamp and training camp coming up next, is these guys given the opportunity to really make a leap here, to hone their craft going into a 2018 where we need that breakout star. All right, that's going to do it for me. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can find me on Twitter at SteelerCountry. Remember to go to LockedOnSteelers.com for more of this podcast, and go to LockedOnSports.com for all your NFL, NBA, MLB news. I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.